Hi everyone. Wow. I'm Bonnie and I'm an alcoholic. This meeting is outrageously enthusiastic. I wish it had been my first meeting. However, it reminds me one day at a time, and that all of our steps begin with we. We are on this ride together, and I do my best, even at 45 years, to show up every day in every way I can for this program. So if you're here today, your first meeting or your thousandth meeting or whatever, welcome. The program of AA has changed my life. And I almost 100% guarantee that it will likely change yours as well. And that's not to say it's an easy road, but that's to say it's possible. If I can do this, you can do this. And my story is not unlike many of the other stories. I was finally pushed to the jumping off point, and it was either die or jump, try something. Today in the reading for the first time, I heard the word ballet. Wow. 45 years later, it took me that long to hear the ballet. And that's significant to me because I started dance at 4 years of age, and I wanted to be a dancer. So for me, drinking and dancing always went together. It was my happy place. And I was, as you've probably figured out, a 60s and 70s girl. And I went for it. Because I was free at last when I found alcohol. I could just blast through the world and do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, with whom I wanted to do it. I was one of Cyndi Lauper's girls just want to have fun. So I never stayed at home. I wanted to be out there with all of you, whooping it up. And the result was what started out as entertainment and my own expression of freedom took me down that road, that sometimes curvy and swervy road, to danger, to blackouts, to feeling god-awful every morning. And to wondering what I had done the night before. And it was those kinds of experiences that began to get my attention because I was corporate by day, dancer by night. And I never thought about the morning drink because I was just getting home from the night before. So it was a very tangled web I wove. And I didn't realize most of the people I hung out with were alcoholics. It was only when I noticed that I was having trouble finding my car in the morning. And then I began checking the bumpers for blood. Because I was very concerned that in a blackout I might have hurt someone else. I had not a concern for my own well-being. But it was that push, as well as a business I had started where I felt I might insult my clients, that got me finally to reach out for help. And I had the arrogance of a college degree. A job, an apartment, a car, boyfriends, whatever. So I called the National Council in San Francisco. And they said, "You know, Bonnie, We have a lot of meetings in this area. You might want to go tonight. I said, oh, I don't think so, not tonight. And she said, yeah, I think you might. I'm going to send you some links. So I showed up December of 1980, and I felt it was the worst mistake I had ever made. It was a room of old men in trench coats. The smoke was so thick you couldn't see across the room. And for me, it was a real downgrade. It was not a program of attraction. But this one woman who'd seen me wandering around on the street corner came to me and said, you know, Bonnie, you don't belong here. These old guys will be hitting on you. You need to go to women's meetings downtown. Well, upon reflection, I had more research to do. But when I finally had the same experience, a blackout, a fight with my boyfriend, and guilt and remorse and self-hatred, I went to that meeting. And I heard a woman who broke her morning bottle of vodka on tile in Italy. And she took a washcloth, mopped it up, and wrung it out so she could have her morning drink. And once again, I thought, dear God, these people are sick. This is not my ideal at 35 years of age. But there was a woman in the room who'd been told to find a sponsee. And I swear to God, she had everything I wanted. She was young. She had her own business. She had a dog, as I did. She had a boyfriend and she had a car. And she got my number. She stalked me and harassed me every day from that first meeting. And she would say, Bonnie, I'm going to a meeting. Shall I pick you up in a half an hour? Want to go? And so I slowly thawed into the idea of, hey, there's a bigger world out there. There are safe places here. I don't have to keep doing this. They have the key for me to break this addiction. I also heard a new author speak on his book, The Myths and Realities of Alcoholism. And he introduced to my awareness, the idea of a disease. So I was no longer guilty. I had something that was treatable, that had solutions. And for me, that's always been AA. So at 6 months sober, I decided I had found the key and figured it out. And the result was the same. Self-hatred, guilt, remorse, no idea what I'd done other than gotten in a big fight with my boyfriend again. And I got it. I was able to take that first step 100%. I was a chef and had a catering business at the time. And for me, the idea of a cucumber and a pickle made perfect sense. I was pickled in Chardonnay, people, but it didn't matter. It is a irreversible kind of thing. And that made it easy. I could approach it in a whole new way. And I also realized there must be sober men in AA. So then I had a new, point of attraction. And the meetings were fun. I could serve coffee like nobody's business. I could greet you with the warmest welcome. And I felt at home. I was a part of. I was entertained and shocked and refreshed by the stories in AA. And that still is true for me. When I go to meetings, when I can listen to others, it expands my humanity. I become more real within myself. And I see then within myself the things that don't work anymore. And I can let them go. As it says in the set-aside prayer, I set aside everything I think I know. And I thought I knew a lot. So intelligence can be a huge block. To me now, the faster I can let go, the healthier I can be, the more of life I can enjoy and embrace. And so for any of you who are having a hard spot, a rough go, I encourage you to talk with others, to journal, to find time in nature or what feeds you personally to grow your own spirit, to rise to the vision that Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery programs promise us all. And I've read codependency books since the very early days because I was sick and nearly died in my third year of sobriety. And I had lost everything. I had no health insurance. I had nothing. And I had a year in which I had to be quiet to let go of being the whirling dervish of AA and to just listen. And it was one of the greatest gifts I ever had. And incidentally, the kidney removal, all of my other expenses were covered by programs and by people I knew nothing of. So AA and the fellowship in being sober has carried me in my bleakest moments. And it's also blessed me with unexpected gifts. I had the chance to 12-step my father at 1 year sober. And he was not a practicing alcoholic when I was at home. And I got to send all the books, all the stuff to my family. And eventually they got him in treatment. And he was 12 or 14 years sober when he passed. But it changed the dynamic of our family. At 7 years sober, my partner and I went to Serenity in Yosemite by AA. Wonderful experience. And the surprise was 7 years sober, 3 years into a relationship, and using birth control, I came home to be expecting a baby. At 43, that is catapulted into a new dimension. And it was amazing. I never planned to have one, a husband, two, a child, and the life that I have now. But I rolled with it. Because I was in a relationship, I had to work the steps harder. I had to adjust to all kinds of new and amazing things. And now my daughter is 37 years old, and she's never seen me drink, or her dad for that matter. So I understand that many of my old ideas were my self-imposed prison. I didn't trust myself. I needed all those props. But as I've gotten older, some of them got ripped out of my hands and I had the opportunity to surrender. And others just faded away because I saw they weren't working anymore. Those defects where we judge other people, attack, all kinds of things that demons that are out there makes no sense at all. And I realized it was a tremendous waste of energy, as was putting myself down. And the sixth step really helped with that. I still totally believe that each of the steps is absolutely integral to my healing. So I show up for myself. I go to step meetings, I go to daily reflections meetings, I go to speakers meetings. I do what I need to do to take care and nurture this most precious gift, which I never did anything to deserve. So I totally believe there was a power looking out for me and guiding me in spite of myself, in spite of my ego, in spite of all my stuff. And I just continue to be eternally grateful for that. I stay in service. I do the best I can do. And like many people who have the gift of growing old in sobriety, which was certainly not my intention, I can adapt and roll with it easier each day. Because it's a changing scene for me, and I have the ability to, you know, to relax into it, to know that it's neither all good news, all bad news, but it's a gift, because I have the privilege of being here and being present. So I may not be the best of this or of that or of the other, but every encounter that I have with my fellows, with my sisters, with spouses thereof, is an opportunity to grow, to know more of life, to be engaged and to feel useful. So coming into these rooms for me is a testimony to your willingness, and to see the enthusiasm and the grace and the fun and feel the energy that the staff and crew and the members who are doing service offer is just the best ever welcome. Because like many of us, I was broken when I got here, and I didn't have a clue how broken I was. So the healing, the bond, the comfort of being with others just can't be replaced. And I would say, I will hazard an opinion, especially in today's world, when so much is uncertain. AA just keeps motoring along and we roll with it. We got Zoom during COVID. We figured out what those buttons meant, and we were able to participate and to meet people all over the world who had experienced their bottom with alcoholism and been able to find these rooms. So more than anything, I just want to thank each of you who's on this screen. Name or face, 123 of you, for this opportunity to be with you and to send you certainly my blessing on your way. Because if you're willing, if you're honest, open, and willing, it's all there for you. And I speak that from my heart as someone who just kept coming back, no matter what. Because it's a really extraordinary experience. Thank you very much.